This one, Eddie. All right. Call the Oceano Community Services District meeting to order. Today is February 8th, 2012. Can I get a roll call, please?
President Guerrero?
Here.
Vice President Lucy?
Here.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Hurdle?
Here.
Director Searcy?
Here.
And I'll note that Director Angelo is appearing telephonically. I'll attach to the order of the minutes photographs of the notice of agenda that were posted. And they were also posted at the Town Place Suites Marriott Birmingham Homewood in Birmingham, Alabama. Is that correct, Director Angelo?
Yes.
Okay. If we could have a flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do the agenda review. So I have a motion to approve the agenda, and I would like to suggest one change is that we move administrative item 10A up underneath 7A. We'll have the report of the Sheriff's South Station Commander first, and then if we could have the fire department discussion. I think that a lot of people are here for that, if that doesn't offend anybody's.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. We do need to ask Director Angelo if there's any public there with her.
Director Angelo, is there any public there? We know your name. It's okay. Thank you, sir.
In the past week, I was up on the levee walking my dog, and there was a private contractor up there, I assume was hired by the county, and he was doing some work in the flat gates. I asked him what he was doing. He says he was correcting a vandalism problem. I don't know if you folks know about that or what kind of work was done. Tom might know something about it, but I would like to know a little more about it. They weren't forthcoming with information relative to what they were doing. I realize that's really not part of this meeting, but just in the effort to continue to communicate observations and potential issues like that, I would bring that up and voice that at this meeting.
Were you able to tell Mr. Carter whether or not it was physical damage or graffiti? Or?
No, they told me it was the correct vandalism problem.
We have had a problem with somebody taking pieces of asphalt and blocking the gates. And so people are quite frequently going through and pulling that. It's not working, but they're putting rocks between the gate. You know, if you pull on it really hard, they're putting a piece of cement there. And so most likely they were out there cleaning those out once again.
But they were there to do some welding. That was my question. I don't know what they did. So just might be interesting for you folks for, you know, future potential issues associated with the flap gates, because they get a lot of press. Know what's going on, and when you find out, I'd like to know as well.
Great, thank you.
Sir.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
None on this issue.
Board member comments?
Matt?
Yes, go ahead, Director Angelo.
You guys turn the volume up a little bit on your end.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Could you turn the volume up have them speak a little closer into the mic?
We're going to work on that. Manager Gieselin's looking at that.
Okay, thank you.
Director Lucy, any public, or any director comments?
No.
Mr. Searcy?
I have none. Thank you.
Ms. Hurdle? Okay, and I have none. We'll move on to reports. Item 7A, report of Sheriff's South Station Commander. Good evening.
Before we get into that, I have a public comment request.
Oh, on this?
Yes.
Item? Okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Julie Tacker.
Sorry,
item 7A.
Sir. I think this is the first time we've had public comment on this item. Yes.
I was hoping to hear the report before I spoke, but I'll just lay the question out there. I understand that a serious crime was committed against your district. I was listening to your board meeting of January 25th, and some computer hacking had gone on. That is, I believe, a federal offense to hack a government computer, and I wondered if sheriff had been investigating it, any arrests made. Again, it's very serious. And then, since I'm here and you haven't adopted your minutes yet, I think your minutes should reflect that said crime took place.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Is there any other public comment on this?
Not on this issue.
Okay. Thank you, Commander.
Good evening. Jim Taylor, Commander of the Sheriff's South Station here in Oceano. As to the computer hacking, I don't have any information to give back to you as to the investigation or where we are with that at this time. I did want to point out to the board and the residents that in the last few nights we have had a number of thefts from unlocked vehicles. The first one was in the 1900 block of Ocean Street. Second one was in the 1600 block of 17th Street. In both cases, the vehicles were left unlocked. In one case, the suspect stole change and credit cards, and in the second case, the suspect stole a checkbook. And where I'm going with all of this is that we've had several cases in the South County area in general in the last month of identity theft, credit card fraud, and forged checks. In at least two of these cases, checks and credit card statements were stolen from the mail. So somebody intercepted the mail, either when somebody put bills out the night before or intercepted the mail when it was delivered before the folks came home. And in one case, a suspect hacked a computer account, went to the victim's online credit card account, changed their address information, and then ordered two additional cards to the new address. And they were able to charge up $2,000 before either the credit card company or the victim caught the activity. In a second case, we had a person who went and looked at an account they hadn't used in some time. There was a $900 charge from Cabela's, and the items had been shipped to New Jersey. We want to remind everybody in the community, one, obviously lock your vehicles at night. Try to keep the lights on outside your residence where your vehicles are parked. That aids the deputies when they're on patrol to kind of keep an eye on things. And also consider either using a P.O. box to get some of the other areas I wanted to talk about this evening. We currently have six deputy sheriff trainees that will be nearing the end of their training phase, and they will be going out to the three patrol stations. We have two deputy sheriffs who are currently in the academy at Ventura County Sheriff's Office. They will be graduating next month and then entering training. Sheriff Parkinson and the Board of Supervisors have worked to secure additional funding, and we've now begun a testing phase to fill the remaining vacancies that have been left open because of the budget concerns we've had in the last few years. The final note I wanted to tell the Board is that although the state budget is still kind of in flux because the actual dollar amounts of income are not known, the governor did place the state grants that are received by the Sheriff's Office under the guaranteed funding umbrella. So our state grants for our rural ag deputies are secured for the coming year. The grants that fund our SAFE team, which is the sexual assault felony enforcement team, these are the people that keep track of the sexual offenders, the 290 registrants. They make sure these people are current on their registrations, make sure they're not hanging around the schools. That team will be intact for the coming year. And also our CalMet detectives, that's a multi-agency methamphetamine enforcement team, and they're earmarked, or I should say they're tasked with working with CWS and the DA's office on drug endangered children. So those programs that have done a lot of good and are very important to us and to the community are going to be secured and funded for the coming year.
Great. I'm
available for any questions.
No, I think that's it. I would add that a paper shredder is cheap insurance.
Absolutely, absolutely. That, or if you got a lot of paper, one of those big bins with the truck that shows up,
right,
takes it away every week.
All right,
thanks,
thank
Commander
you,
Taylor.
Thank you,
and thank you for the good news that you're going to be funded.
Yeah.
So I think by agreement, we're moving to item 10A. Discussion and request recommendation with regard to potential formation of a fire protection district or a levy for a fire suppression benefit assessment by the Five Cities Fire Authority. Just by way of background, I think this is on the agenda for the February 24th meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority. And each of the participating entities, the OCSD, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach, each have it to discuss these particular issues. So without further ado, I will turn it over.
Actually, we have public comment.
Is there public comment?
Yes,
excuse me.
Public comments. Julie Tacker, please.
All right, Julie.
Pardon?
I'm advised by counsel that we're to have the public comment before before hearing the presentation. Is there any other public comment then? Are you wanting to go now, Julie? Okay.
I guess protocol. I mean, highly unusual. Without hearing the presentation, I am a bit off my game. But I would say, from my experience, again, my name is Julie Tacker. I do live in Los Osos. I am entering my eighth year on our Emergency Services Committee up there. So probably the best thing Los Osos has ever done is sign a contract with CAL FIRE. And not knowing all the that's going to be said here, I am at a disadvantage. But I would suggest that you take a parallel track, look at what CAL FIRE can offer your three communities, ask that that be brought to all three communities in a cost-saving effort, maybe instead of having to raise taxes, which is what it appears this item is referencing. So, again, a plug for CAL FIRE. They are under budget every year for us. And very professional. We are happy with our response times, and in Los Osos we are one of the most revered as far as our ability to have paramedics on each call. So just something else to consider before you go out and have to tax your customers. And again, because I'm at a disadvantage, I haven't heard your presentation. From what limited information I've been able to read, it appears that the finances are what is at the base of this. And until your district has its financial house in order, I don't know that there's comfort with all the parties. So maybe that's something that's driving this conversation. Again, I don't know.
Part of the presentation is our existing funding and how to procure more funding. Would that be right, Ricky? Okay. I'll defer to Ricky. Chief Heath.
Good evening, President Guerrero, honorary board members. Ricky Heath, Five Cities Fire Authority. I'm here this evening to talk to you a little bit about the pursuit of possibly doing a fire district or going after a benefit assessment. Background, staff has been asked to explore the possibilities. The formation of the fire protection district or the installation of a benefit assessment. Both these mechanisms are revenue generators, which are necessary for fire protection, for provisions of fire protection. Consistent with the board's direction, staff has employed the service of consultants in two areas. One is terrain consultants that did a study to determine whether we have any kind of support out in the community for a benefit assessment. And then also we hired Michael Colantuno, who gave us all the legal expertise related to the possibility of a fire district or benefit assessment. The two processes are different and require varied levels of participation from the original jurisdictions. At the January 20th meeting, the authority board directed staff to bring this item to the original jurisdictions for discussion and recommendation. After the individual jurisdictions have the opportunity to review and discuss these items, it will return back to the authority board for further action. Formation of the fire protection district, try to break it down in two steps. First would be either to petition for 25% support from the people within our communities, or the three agencies would go to LAFCO with an application. City of Rio Grande, Grove Beach, and Oceano, through the County Board of Supervisors, would go to LAFCO and apply for the possibility of a fire district. After adoption of the resolution of the application to LAFCO, by the jurisdictions, the matter goes to LAFCO for board approval. Depending on the process, may result in a simplified protest hearing or an election of the residents affected by the district. If the district is to be funded by a special tax, both the formation of the district and the special tax may be included in a single ballot. A two-thirds vote would be required for the special tax, and if that special tax is in question, so would the district, because they want to make sure the district's sustainable. If a special tax is proposed, a simple majority vote can determine the fruition of that district. The adoption of a fire suppression benefit assessment, this can be authorized as a joint power agreement as a function that can be undertaken by the authority board. It appears it cannot fund paramedic services or related equipment to paramedics or other types of emergency type services outside of fire suppression. Portions will be identified as required between the amount of the assessment and the direct benefit derived by each property for these services, funding a detailed analysis needs to be performed, and a written engineer's report needs to be obtained to support the amount of the proposed assessment. Meaning, we would have an engineer do a study, take a look at each parcel, determine what level of fire protection is needed, what kind of hazards are involved for that parcel, the size of the parcel. All those things would be taken into account to determine the amount of the fee for that particular parcel. So everything would be on a scale. Resolution ordering an assessment engineer to prepare a written engineer's report will be needed. Once the report is completed, it needs to be presented to the board and considered at a notice public hearing, during which another public hearing would be set to consider the proposed assessment needs to be noticed and scheduled. Proposition 218 notice and protest procedures would be applicable to this process, and the assessment can be adopted if the ballots submitted before or at the public hearing are not outweighed in opposition. The special district would need to be approved by LAFCO and filed by the cities. Any question on that part of it? I know it's a lot of information.
Well, we've kind of read it already.
Okay.
Well, he's presenting to the public as well.
The question I have is about the loss of control. I think that's one of the concerns for each of the jurisdictions. There would still be a board comprised of the individual jurisdictions, Chief?
Yes, I believe the board would be designed to meet the requirements of the three member agencies, and on that board we have representatives such as yourself or another person from your district board as part of the fire board.
And are you saying that you would collect the funds from our tax base, and if they were not enough, that the district would have to make up the difference?
I'm not certain exactly how that would work. I know that if a district was to come in place, from my readings, what I understand is that each jurisdiction would set an amount, and that would be definite for the duration of the district. And then from there, the fire department would have to do other things to
make up the difference.
Yeah.
Okay. And currently, is there a sunset on what our obligation is to the JPA?
I don't have an answer to that question.
Do you know, Chief?
I actually...
Do you know that?
being kind of the senior here now. If I remember correctly, I was at the first meeting when the consulting firm was hired and that we had up at the regional center for just to discuss the JPA before the joints even came together. The consultants from the north, they had done I think it was the Folsom project or something like that.
Citygate, is that what?
Citygate, yeah. Yes, exactly. Thank you. So in that time, if I remember correctly, Oceana being smaller than the other two entities that were involved, we had a time limit as to how long we would participate in the JPA and if it was a good fit for Oceana, because we were a district and they were cities. And correct me if I'm wrong, you know, and I have to look to the other people who have worked in that department, but I'm... I think it was 5 years. And at that time, the board had to decide whether we were the only ones who had an option of pulling out or staying in, is my understanding. You know, but I'm not saying that my memory is always perfect either. But I do think that there is that clause in there. Secondly is I would ask what started the conversation in becoming a special district versus a JPA? Because obviously you went out and got two consultants looking in two different areas, so something triggered going on to a special district versus operating under a JPA. So can you speak to that a little bit for me?
What I know is they have been working on the formation of the JPA for approximately 8 years.
Correct.
And during that period, first it was the Fire Oversight Committee, which evolved into the JPA and the Fire Board. And during those years, they always talked about the possibility of forming a district or something of that nature. That's what I know.
Okay. So I would ask you to take that question back to the leadership.
Okay.
And because it's not fair to put you up here to answer these questions. I think it's only fair to ask the question, what triggered going from a JPA to a district? It's costly. Is there a reason why we need to do that? Do we need to create another governmental entity? Do we really need to do that? And to have you answer those questions, I don't think that's fair by your leadership to do that. It should have been the leadership here, you know, somebody saying, yeah, we want to go from a JPA to a district for A, B, and C reasons. You know, but yeah. They said, Ricky, go to Oceana, go do it, buddy.
Well, another
question for the leadership, too, is... 73% of our calls are medically based, you know, broken heart, arm to, you know, whatever. About 73% are medically based. Why is it that the leadership didn't take that consulting money and say, hey, would it be to our advantage to invest in an EMT system? Because 73% of your calls are going out to medical anyway. I mean, the county must be thrilled with your performance, you know. I mean, because they're the ones who are getting the money here for the work that you're doing. So have there been any exploring about, like, maybe trying to maybe get an EMT? That way we get the money. It stays home.
Well,
or paramedic, or, you know, right. People are looking at me like, I don't know the lingo. And I don't know the lingo, but, you know, the bottom line is that you're pulling out big old fire trucks because somebody got their arm caught between the washer and dryer, you know? I mean...
Okay. Do you want to address that?
Well, GP. First off, I really can't.
Money is important. There's an article on the front page of the local section of the newspaper by Cynthia Lambert addressing issues like bringing on some of the firefighters full time. Oceano here is staffed by two guys. It's staffed by a firefighter and a captain. It'd be nice to get an engineer, at least a second firefighter. And these are all things that I think are part of the bigger plans, and we're making these baby steps. I said before, one of my concerns, though, is if we do an assessment, if there's a parcel tax, it does need to be supported by two-thirds of the voters, but I also think it needs to be enough. If we do it, enough money has to be raised to support the needs of the fire department so that after all of that money presumably or hopefully comes in, there's enough to pay the bills. And I think that's an important consideration.
Well, I think with the benefit assessment, although it talks about it's not intended for anything else other than fire suppression, had an individual who shared some really good information that expressed that, you know, it could be a really gray area if we utilize that funding to staff up an engine and that engine is available for response to a structure fire and there's a traffic accident which involves a medical aid. We're not going to tell that engine not to go to that medical aid. It's still going to go to that incident. So it creates a real gray, you know, area of how that is perceived. I think the most important thing to look at here is, we utilize the reserve program to the best of our abilities. We treat our reserves as if they are professional firefighters. We hold them to the highest standard as a professional firefighter. They work 24-hour shifts, and they are constantly covering those shifts 365 days a year. They only make anywhere from $10 to $12 an hour. And they also have to go out and find other means of work in order to survive. But because of their love of the fire service, they stick it out for us. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we do our best to meet NFPA 1710 and 1720, which talks about the standard of response to a single-family residential structure fire where you need 15 people there within the first 8 minutes. And CAL FIRE does an excellent job of providing us automatic aid to those type of incidents, but on a daily basis, we only have 8 people on staff for fire suppression. And CAL FIRE provides us automatic aid, but it's by the skin of our teeth that we even get near that 15 personnel at 8 minutes. And then we have CAL OSHA that has the requirements of, you know, two in and two out, meaning anytime two people go into a structure fire to fight fire, it's by law that is required of us to have two people standing out ready to rescue those two people that are in that dangerous environment. And so those are some of the things that we're looking at to try and enhance fire protection. And by being able to do that, we also improve our ability to perform rescues properly and also put the fire out effectively.
Can I ask a question? Ricky, since the JPA got together and stuff, before that, our response time was 3 minutes in the Oceano area. I remember that being thrown around a lot, and I do remember my insurance agent talking to me about that. You know, and now you're saying it's 8 minutes for a 15-person response. Is that what that is?
That's the national standard.
Okay. Yes. So, realistically, if something...
The first arrived unit may have gotten there in 3 minutes, but the full effective force is the 15 firefighters in 8 minutes. The
okay.
National standard is the first arriving unit in 4 minutes.
Since... Before the JPA, we had 3 minutes, right, that we could at least get a truck on site, maybe it volunteers or not. Now, what are we at? Since we're not staffed the same patterns here, what are we at now?
We're still holding that 3 minutes. In fact,
how?
We, from the response through the stations.
So...
But that's
is your
the first
main hub.
Engine.
Will they come from this station, or do they come from AG or Grover?
If this station is not committed to another incident, then we would respond from either Grover Beach or Royal Grande, or we move up engines. For example, CAL FIRE will bring their engine out of 22s down here to cover behind this station when we go out on this out in the Pismo Dunes area or Oceano Dunes area.
So you're saying that every time you go out on the dunes to do the state a favor, we go uncovered?
No. CAL FIRE will come in and cover behind
us. CAL FIRE up on the mesa?
Yes.
And they can get out that mesa?
A little easier for you. We're currently going after a grant, a safer grant, for staffing the Oceano Station. Right now we have one full-time captain and one reserve firefighter on duty 24/7 here at the station. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're going after a safer grant to hire three additional personnel, which will be engineers, the guys that drive and pump the engine, and we'll staff them here. And that will increase our daily staffing. And in order for us, and I haven't shared this with the chief yet because I haven't had the opportunity, but in order for us to be successful with this grant application, what we've decided also is to ask for three additional firefighters. And those three firefighters would be staffed over at the Arroyo Grande station, and we would maintain our reserve program. And so at the Arroyo Grande station, we would have four people on the truck, because truck work is heavy work. Mm-hmm. You know, usually you have... Well, anyway, it's heavy work. And so four person on the truck, three person at the Grover station, three person here in Oceano, and then a chief officer. That, along with one engine from CAL FIRE or Pismo Beach and a breathing support unit from Avila Beach, that brings us to that 15 personnel within the first 8 minutes.
And this oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So this is contingent on mutual aid.
Automatic aid.
And this follows something you said earlier, that even if we do, or you said before, not earlier tonight, but you said before to me, was that even if we do a special assessment, there's still other ways to keep trying to procure funding for the district and to try to, you know, meet the needs of the community with fire protection and medical aid. One of my thoughts is, I think, you know, I don't know if our board is in a position to take a position tonight. We do have another meeting on the 22nd before the 24th, which is the next fire protection meeting, so I'm glad we're talking about this. And on the 23rd, Chief Arana is going to be sworn in. And if those of you who don't know him, he's here in the audience. He's going to be the new chief of the Five Cities Fire Authority. And I think he should meet the commander and some of the other people here he hasn't already met. You know, there's a lot of issues here, and you know what, we don't have to take both. We could do one or the other. We could try to get an idea of which way the wind is blowing with Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande too, and see what their thinking is on these situations.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a couple of comments.
Yeah, go ahead, Director Sears.
You know, I back in the day, I rode on the tailboard, you know, as a volunteer in Oceano, and I've always seen Oceano as giving, you know, best service, you know, in around here. I mean, we kept up with the Arroyo Grande Grover, you know, we've always had nice equipment, you know, and prior to this JPA, I don't know how many men we had out in this trailer, but we bought that trailer for our guys to be here, you know, to serve this community. And I understand that, you know, that now that we've come together and we're doing a bigger network fire suppression and you know, medical related responses, that you know, that those costs are going up, and I can see that you guys are feeling the pinch, you know, to try and get better services, and you know, but I would just like to remind you, you know, that the cost of creating a special district, I don't even know if you guys put the money in last year's budget for going out and hiring these consultants to try to figure this out for you. You know, so, you know, there's some cost to the election, and the cost for prepping for the election. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're blowing that kind of money, you know, it's right. Maybe you guys should start putting what you really need together, like, you know, the EMT program, or, you know, you can, and you don't stop running those big, expensive trucks down the road, you know, and get some cost savings. And if you need three more guys, and then come to the JPA and, you know, let them present a pass-through bill or an assessment. And, you know, if that's what this community needs, we've always stepped up to the plate and give it to the people. But, it's just kind of leery that, you know, we're getting minimal service here, you know, with this JPA. It was supposed to be more collaborative. Because, you know, we always do fine by ourselves.
See that the information that you presented does show that you do have support of people. It has been presented in a survey.
In city, yeah. Talk to Terrain and see if they give me a sample of that, because I don't know exactly what was said.
And Chief Heath, if you wanted to get that to me, I could get it to the board for our next meeting.
Okay.
That'd be no problem.
Yeah, I'll contact Terrain and see if they'll be willing to send me a copy of that sample. I'm sorry, Mary, I thought you were talking about the report.
No, I have that here.
Okay.
One of the things that was that struck me is that people, even in this time of non, you know, people wanting to lower taxes, not wanting to raise taxes, they were still in support of it because it was local control,
right,
for something that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there was a lot of people that were in support of it that otherwise might not. I think that crossed party lines pretty reasonably so. So that one of my concerns, though, is, Chief Aranis starts the 23rd.
The
14th. Oh, excuse me.
The swearing-in is the 23rd.
Oh, okay. He starts next week, and so it'll be, you know, he's going to be the guy that's got the two of you together. You guys have to put this thing, you know, get the wheels to the road, the rubber to the road if we do this. And so it's going to be, it's going to be too much on Chief Aranis's plate to also ask him to do this, you know, walk into a new organization, figure out where the bones are buried, and try to create another new organization out of it. And I don't, we need your direction on that, whether or not now's the time to even think about this. So.
I think we should take our time.
Okay.
Definitely.
Are there any other questions? And I will say, to follow Rick's comment, though, if we do end up with another board, I think Oceana would not appreciate if there was a five-person board and we only had one seat. So I think that if we do keep a board, we like having a three-person board with an equal vote.
Yes.
And can you go back and check and see if Oceana had a condition on our participation?
Sure. Well,
we have a JPA agreement contract that we can reference, and I can get that information to you.
Great. Thank you.
And so my proposal, I don't know, Mr. Giesland, do you have anything you'd like to add to this discussion?
Do I have what?
Anything you'd like to add to this discussion?
No, because it was just a presentation, and okay, there's going to be tons more discussion. And
I would propose we put it on for next agenda.
Okay.
Have this, and that way we can digest some of this information we've had, and some of it's new.
I do know we did. I delivered our quarterly check Tuesday, and it, you know, weighed down my side of the car as I brought it over.
Well, good thing you had the water bill on the other side.
President Guerrero?
Yes, Director Angelo.
Yes, I'm listening in on this as well, and I have some of the similar concerns that you do with this. I would like to have a little more time to go through this and possibly let the new chief coming in to get acquainted with it as well. I'm not sure how they come up with these two ways of doing this, but I think there should probably be some changes made or some other items added to it or changed around somewhat. And I know that you're on this pretty good most of the time. So I would like to see this discussed a little more in depth and get a little more information as you have requested as well before we do any type of vote for action on this.
I think so, too. You know, one of the things I was thinking as you were saying that, Director Angelo, was that, you know, the budget is about $3.6 million that the fire authority currently has. And what I think that the communities would like to know is, well, we have 3.6, but we need 5, or we need 4.8, or whatever the number is, so that we can provide this service plus whatever additional services we'd like to be able to provide.
Yes.
That's
yeah,
a thought.
Yeah, we like to know, you know, where it's going to.
That's right. Is there anything else?
I have nothing.
Director Lucy?
No, I'll hold it.
Okay. Ms. Hurdle?
No.
Thanks. All right. So I'll ask that we put this on for the next meeting on the 22nd so that we can take a position regarding these items. Thank you,
Thank
Chief
you.
Heath.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you.
So why don't we go back to 7B? I guess that would be the would that include your report on the Five Cities Fire Authority, Ricky? You were next up on the agenda also. Item 7B, report of Five Cities Fire Authority, Acting Fire Chief Ricky Heath.
Okay, how many heart attacks do we have?
That's when you thought you were done.
This month, we ran 51 calls out of Station 61, Oceano Station. 29 of those were medical aid calls. Three of them were hazardous conditions. One involved the La Tapatia Market, where a vehicle went into the wall. And it was unreinforced masonry, and we ended up having a structural engineer come out along with the building official, and we shored up a certain section of the store and put some false walls up.
The building.
Pardon me?
I don't see how you missed that building, and they had to go through the field to get to it. So.
I know. If you don't mind, I would like to invite Captain Huey up here. He has something that he would like to present.
Okay.
If that's appropriate.
Captain Huey. And those who don't know Captain Huey, he works at our local Oceano Station. So.
All right. Good evening. And I do have some information on that vehicle. If someone was test driving a new car.
Oh. Was it a diesel?
No, it was a little, I don't know, because when I got there, the car was already gone, so.
Wow.
CHP had already cleared.
Rumor has it was a truck.
Yeah, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. It was about that wide. So. Okay, well, good evening. Tom Huey, Five Cities Fire Authority. I'm sure you guys have seen what we had built down at the water yard at 13th Street and Highway 1. In late November, early December, we hosted, the Five Cities Fire Authority hosted a truck company operations training class, and the topics that we covered in this class were commercial, residential roof ventilation techniques, forcible entry in residential, commercial, and building large area search, and it went really well. We had instructors that came all the way from Sacramento Fire Department and San Jose Fire Department to kind of show us the tools of the trade. This was also for our new truck that we got off the grant purchase, so we could utilize that truck, and we knew exactly what we were doing with that. It worked really well. I got to tell you, the class wouldn't have been possible at all if we didn't get permission from Oceano Community Services District to use that lot that was out there. All the materials that we used, the majority of the materials that we used was donated by local businesses here, so it was no cost to the authority, as well as all of the construction was done by virtually everybody on the department on and off duty. So we came in to make this thing happen. But as a token of our appreciation, we'd like to present the Oceano Community Services District with it's actually a picture of our truck company operations class that we did. And I'll read this to you. It says, with great gratitude, the Five Cities Fire Authority would like to recognize the Oceano Community Services District under the leadership of General Manager Tom Gieslin for the continued support of vital fire ground training to the personnel of the, or from the personnel of the Five Cities Fire Authority. So,
thank you so much.
We'll pass this around.
Thanks, Captain Huey.
Paint that wall, we can hang it up
there. Yeah. Did you want that in small bills or large bills?
My maps have full time. No, this is
good. I'll move to item 7C, report of OCSD operations. Is there any public comment on this item?
7C. No.
All right. Report of OCSD operations. Manager Gieslin.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to hand out the drafts of the 9-10 financial statements.
Okay.
They do exist, but they are drafts, and so they're not for public consumption at this time because we have a meeting on on Friday with Moss Levy because we do have to restate based on what we discovered in this year's findings. But the restatement should be simple, and then we'll adjust these balances so that we'll go forward. But this is like 95% of having two down and one to go. So.
Okay.
I could get teary-eyed, really. I never felt that way about numbers before.
9, 10.
Thank you, Mr. Gieselin. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So, Manager Gieselin, we're just taking these...
People of Oceano, thank you.
We're taking these under advisement at this point, and we'll.
Yeah, what I'd like you to do is review. I just got them tonight at 5:30, and I've gone through them. I notice a couple things in there that we're going to have to change because we just stuff that has come to the forefront as we backtrack. But it gives you an idea, and we are in balance. It shows that they were solvent during that time period. Which is another plus, which I said we were when I first got involved with this. The restatement, as I explained to you in the last meeting, has to do with money that we had received during the earthquake time, and when it was received in that given year, we received over $500,000, to which that has to take that audit to another level. So. That's what we're meeting on to get that done as quickly as possible. I find it amazing that all this stuff happens during tax time, so when you walk into a CPA's office, you know they're on aspirin and coffee. And
stress.
Most of the financial information has been coming out on a regular basis on the Friday report. Mm-hmm. I pushed back on you guys last meeting saying this was a focus. Also, we're re-auditing all our billing codes and making sure that the meters that we have in place are the right ones. We're doing in conjunction with a project with the Sand District. And that's taken up a considerable amount of time. As far as somebody had a question about the computer hacking thing, we've been unable to attest to when it happened other than that certain things changed. They were very good about what they did, and they were able to go through and enable remote access, but they were also able to obliterate the logs. So even though we sent the information off to the software company, they said the data has been corrupted, so whoever did it knew exactly what they were doing. I don't want to go into some of the files that they touched, but they didn't appear to be looking at any financial files. So we're okay. Plus, I don't have very many financial files on that computer in the first place. Hmm. So, but we are following up with that. And we put in a new firewall that's actually a hardwire firewall as well as the ones that we were purchasing from the software company. So that appears to keep things in check. But as you all know, if man made it, somebody's going to break it. Hmm. And I just kind of question the mentality of why these people feel the need to continue to try and disrupt because it's so counterproductive. It takes time, and it's just, you know, we're trying to do good things here, and to have this stuff happen is just ridiculous. So
it doesn't make any sense.
It's
Mr. Gieselin, this is happening across the nation, and I did read an article saying that they were hitting small government, school districts and stuff, this hacking. You know, and, you know, nothing is safe anymore. You know, they practice on the smaller entities, the smaller, such as us, you know, and then they go on to the National Treasury, Wall Street, and all this stuff. And so it really is an epidemic. And I can't imagine anybody benefiting hacking into our stuff. You know, come on, you know. We're so transparent. Don't waste your time. But, you know, I'm glad that you addressed it, but I'm just trying to say I'm not taking it personal.
Well, it's just I think we lost probably 3 days of just one trying to figure out how it happened. Then when we did figure out, then we were sending stuff off to the software companies and trying to get their deal. So it took time and effort. And, you know, we're basically a staff of six, not counting myself. So it's, you know, it is alarming.
Most definitely.
So those have been the priorities. I've had to attend a lot of meetings lately. I got the rack has become a regular occurrence now, and there's a lot of things that directly affect us at the rack. One is the integrated water resource management plan, which we are working with our other NCMA partners on, and we've combined with PISMO and other players like the Sanitation District and stuff, we put in for money that was the county's dividing up, and I think I told you before there was like $3.6 million in requests for $1 million, and it looks like we may get $200,000 to apply to our water management plan. I just got the cost today to, remember I told you there's a county well that they put in at the base of the mesa, and I just got the cost to put the sensing equipment in that well so that we not only have the sentry wells here, but we have it at the base of the mesa so we can, one, verify that the quality of the water there is as good as we think it is. Two, it's going to let us know if there's any pumping depressions. And three, it's going to basically tie everything in together so as different people make different statements, we'll at least have the facts to back that up. So, and I'm real excited about that. And it's going to be a cost of about $7,000, but it's no longer going to be hearsay. It's going to be cold, hard fact. And these things, as I stated before, we get readings every 15 minutes, and then they download them over a period of time, and then that all goes into our database, and we make those, we put those reports out. So I'm excited about that as well. On the Zone 1-1A, the big rainstorm that was supposed to happen didn't. We've been communicating with the county, the gentleman that spoke before about the flap gates. When they get to put that stuff in there, there's some metal structures that have been...
They're mean machines.
It is just unbelievable the amount of... when they want to go do something, it's just... they can
just
do something.
Just send them on their way.
Yep, they're good. So the nice thing is I don't think anybody can turn them into the Coastal Commission, so as they go and clean that up for us. All right, I have... ever since I got here, I talked about that we weren't going to do business the old way anymore. There was going to be no secret meetings, no backdoor deals, no private deals, that we were going to base everything on fact, and we were going to allow as much sunshine into this organization as we possibly can. And we belong to a group called the NCMA, which is the Northern Cities Management Group, and I've probably agitated there as much as I've agitated other places, as most of you know, because I know you get calls when I do it. And back in November, there was the Nacimiento Water Project had about an $8 million surplus.
Right.
And so every agency in the world was trying to get their hands on that money, including our group, the NCMA, because we wanted to get part of that money to basically help fund our water management plan. And so we have a facilitator called WSC, and they keep track of everything, and they do a lot of the hydrology, and they collect all the data and everything. And they produced a letter that was supposed to be private, that was supposed to go to Pavel Ogren, basically telling him that we wanted part of that money, and the amount of money we wanted was $850. And in the second or third paragraph, there was a mention of the seawater intrusion that we all hear about. And I presented our data about how I personally feel about the seawater intrusion, and that how we as an Oceana board feel about the seawater intrusion. And they basically said, this is basically so we can get this money, so we can get this groundwater plan, so we'll be able to collect even more data and be able to respond quicker and everything. So I signed that letter. And I resisted signing it, but I'm always talking about being a team player and working together. And as you know, I've been pushing to get not for us not to be the rogue agency, but to work on team play and everything. And so somehow that letter got out in the public, and so there's feedback saying that your general manager says this, but he puts this in play on another deal. So I wanted to clarify that to you and the board, because it was only supposed to go to there, and it was so we could get additional funding to make the NCMA a stronger and more accurate reporting agency.
Was
so
it?
I'm kind of falling on my sword here, because
don't fall too
hard. No. But what I mean is that in retrospect, I probably should have stuck to my guns and said, no, I'm not signing it, and you know, with this paragraph in there. But at the time, it was the decision that I made, and I'm standing by it. But it doesn't change the opinions that I have. It was all in the effort of being a team player. And I probably should have brought a copy to that letter to you as well, but as Molly knows, that what goes on in that deal is attorney-client confidential, and there's times that I'm not supposed to speak on that, because if I ever do, I get all these attorneys calling up and giving heck to me and telling Molly he needs to keep his mouth shut. So, but tonight, I just wanted you guys to know that, and that I did do it. I made a mistake. I should have held firmer to my principles, but in the interest of team play and getting along with my neighbors and other water contractors, I felt it was the thing that needed to be done at the time.
Was it like an MOU, or was it a letter of support?
No, it was basically a request that said, we understand that there's $8.5 million of Nacimiento budget surplus. We would like, if when you go to carve that up,
so was it intro?
Yeah, it was kind of like, hey, this is what we want to do.
I just want to know.
And it went to Pavel Ogren, and it came back with an email that he basically said all the things that I was saying before I signed it.
Okay.
Now, the other thing that I need to point out is that this did manifest itself in somewhat of a good way, because we all bound together when and use that to go after that $200,000 that we're trying to get from the RAC, which they're deciding, which they're going to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors.
Throw in as a scare tactic to get that money out. They're going to do it. But, you know, and it kind of, we talked a little bit about Napomo's presentation. I mean, there's some of that information out there. I don't know where they get this stuff. And, you know, and they keep trying to dump it on us over here, and, you know, we're just trying to provide the service down here.
Well, we have those two items on the agenda, which we can address
at the
specific time.
Good job, Tom.
And that's all I have for right now.
All right.
Can I propose that we take a five-minute break, because there's a couple things I need to double-check.
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff will be next up then.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's 42 after 7. We'll take a five-minute. Why don't we just come back at 10 till and make it a nice even.
Great.
On that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have this one other thing to talk about.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Jeff, he has one other thing. Okay.
Okay.
I'll call the meeting back to order of the OCSD. And I think Manager Gieselin mentioned he had one other thing to talk about for operations.
Tomorrow night, Senator Blakeslee is hosting a town hall on the proposed water regulations, and it's at the O'Connor Boardroom, Lucy Amar School District, 602 Orchard Street, Building B, Roy Grandy. I asked for an agenda, but they haven't put one out yet. But basically, it's Ag is pushing back on some of the new water regulations that have been put through. Home builders is pushing back, and so I'll be in attendance for that tomorrow too. And if any of you'd like to go,
what time is it? 6 o'clock, you said?
It's at 5:30 to 7:30 at the Lucy Amar Boardroom.
I'll be there too.
Okay, it's probably critical that we are there.
I think we should have a
presence. I just got this on Tuesday morning, so.
Thank you, sir.
And I talked to his rep, and she said that as soon as she got the agenda, she'd send it over to me.
And I believe we have public comment from Mr. Edwards.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to briefly speak to item 7C, and that's the letter that your GM referenced regarding the NCMA technical group. I think this falls under the category, if you say it enough, people start to believe it. This fiction of seawater intrusion in Oceano, as you may know, started with the Barbara Mann letter that was a form letter, and all the NCMA participants signed it. That was in November of 2009. Been trying to put the genie back in the bottle ever since. Mm-hmm. This latest letter is really incredible that Mr. Gieselin has signed. He's apparently succumbed to pressure from the technical group to create a fiction to apply for money is unethical at the least. You shouldn't have to fake an emergency to either apply for money or pursue a particular water project. Let the merits of projects speak for themselves. Coincidentally, this letter that was signed by the NCMA participants addressed to Pavel Obrun of the Public Works Department, he sent an email back slamming the letter because it wasn't strong enough. It doesn't cry out enough about seawater intrusion. That's preposterous. It's just beyond belief how this thing, and of course, the items on the agenda, the question of a seawater intrusion letter that your board is writing, we're going to be speaking to that. But now how does this relate to that? It affects the credibility of this board and this district. I think it's imperative that you get on the same page. And this is a very important item. Your 900 acre feet of groundwater is the single largest asset that this district owns, bar none. And I'll expand on that later. But this just simply can't continue. And we need to get arms around this problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there any other public comment? Is there any other public comment?
None on this issue.
Okay. Moving to item 7D, report of board of directors and outside committees. I'll start with Director Hurdle. Do you have any report of the outside committees?
I didn't attend any of our formalized committee meetings, but we did have our first executive meeting for the Cinco de Mayo project, which is one of our economic vitality projects, and it did go well, and we are planning another one and next week, and we'll continue to report on that. We're excited about the event, and it's coming along.
Vice President Lucy, do you have any reports?
Yeah, I do have a few reports. excuse me. First of all, I'd like to have it added to the poll, and it's called the Zone 3 Advisory Committee. And what it does is there's the technical committee, and it feeds into Zone 3, and Zone 3 either gives it the thumbs up, thumbs down, and then it goes on to the Board of Supervisors, right? Well, the last time the bylaws for this committee, when they were reviewed or when they were created, was 1985. So we thought maybe it was time that we go back, revamp it. The county has built more of an infrastructure, and what really is the purpose of this body. Up in the North County, they have the Nacimiento body, and I have their and they call themselves the Nacimiento Project Commission. Difference being the Zone 3 calls themselves an advisory committee. Up north, they call it a commission. Now, wordsmithing does make a difference in when you're doing these documents as to what's the purpose of your committee, what are you supposed to oversee, and is it really worth having you there? So when you apply for things like state water and things like that, they want you to have these certain advisory committees together. So there's more input than just the Board of Supervisors. So I raised my hand to go back and look and read the bylaws and the mission statement since 85 to see if Zone 3 works, particularly for Oceano. Does it work? okay? Does what they've created, the structure, is it relevant, is really kind of my big question. Because there's an entire department that is built around Zone 3. And so Zone 3 is to watch the Lopez, you know, deal with state water issues, and pretty much do everything that the technical group and takes into consideration what the RAC group, even though RAC reports directly to the Board of Supes, they're not intertwined with Zone 3, but they do run a parallel track. RAC oversees countywide. Zone 3 oversees only Lopez Dam and as it relates to the dam. So on the board, there are seven chairs, seven seats. Five people are holding seats from, you know, Oceano, Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and then agriculture has an at-large seat, and okay, so Pismo. I don't know who else the other one. It,
Pismo.
One, it's what?
Pismo.
No, that's elected. No. Well, actually, Avila does hold the at-large seat. Okay, so the at-large seats don't have term limits. The elected people who sit at that table, all five of us have term limits. We have term limits that are driven by an election. So we have 4 years. The at-large seats are held by engineers and people who have just been there since day one. So what I've proposed is that the two at-large seats have four-year terms, the same as the people who are elected. Now, we kind of went back and forth on this because they go, well, you could, for example, one of the other cities has had the same rep for 15 years, but the gentleman has been elected for 15 years. His city continually appoints him back to that body, so he does have a term limit. He has a term limit of 4 years. So the people who have vested the money into it, who really have been elected, and the people of their area have asked them to sit on this body, have term limits, where these two at-large seats just go forever. And in fact, I think one seat has been held by the same person the entire time. Okay, so I've asked that the recommendations be is that the two at-large seats have four-year rotations. And that just gives people a chance to put in an application. If they want to hold that seat, then they have an opportunity to participate. If the seat never goes up, then it never goes vacant, and the same person holds it for life, and that's pretty much what's happened. When Zone 3 had their elections for who was going to chair this year, it was decided long before the parties sat at the table, and it was pretty much, I could tell, it was, well, you do it this time, and we move with the body's decision. At this point, it's done deal. It's over with. Now we can go as individuals or as board members on Zone 3 and appeal Zone 3's decision to the Board of Supervisors. Now, I'm not saying this is going to fly, and I'm not saying this is going to pass by Zone 3, right? But these, as your rep, these are the recommendations that I've come up with to try to make this a stronger, fairer board. Okay, and it really annoys me that Oceano has never chaired this body. So anyway, and then we're rewriting the mission statement, because the mission statement is supposed to basically drive the direction you're going. The mission statement drives your scope of work. Okay, so I'm doing a swipe at the mission statement right now, and I'm working with John over at the county, and he's running it too, and basically we're beefing it up, have it be more reflective of what Zone 3 actually does, because what they do now and what they did in 85 is really very different things. So that's one thing. So we're in the midst of a bylaw change. And then the last recommendation that I had to them was that they do an organizational chart. That, you know, people think RAC as part of Zone 3 and TAC as part of TIC and BIC and, oh, my God, it, you know. And unless you sit there for 4 years, you can't. Then the lights start to come on, okay? So I've asked for an organizational chart. That's it, you know. So we'll see if those are the four recommendations that I made on behalf of Oceano. And if anybody has anything that they'd like to put in to that, please. I'm really open for it.
I think those are really thoughtful recommendations. I think they're.
I tried to be very fair. Yeah. You know, because I don't think they're not much into being fair.
How well were they received?
How well was it received? Just getting them to agree that they need to be reviewed was a victory. Now we haven't presented it to Zone 3 yet. So I suspect that there will be. I think there's a very good justification for making the 4-year term seats on the at large. I mean, I can't. That's where I'm going to lay my cards. If it really comes down to it, I think that's my strongest recommendation, and the rotation of the chair. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'll compromise on the others, but those two, no compromise, I think.
Thank you.
You know, and if they don't go for it, I'll pull it off the agenda. I'll pull it off the table, and we'll go back at it until they do it right.
I think all four of the suggestions would streamline the organization and make it far more effective.
Yeah, I mean, at least a little bit more fairer.
Yeah, choose your battles.
Yeah, and Rick's worked on these really, really hard as well, too, you know. So, secondly, on the RAC, what's happened is RAC, they love to visit with themselves. They love it to death, right? And so Tom has graciously taken the morning shift, right? Which is, I think, from 9 to 1, because I can either do morning or I can do afternoon, but I cannot regurgitate it all day long. I can't do it. And then usually I come in at 1, and then Mr. Gieslin goes off to what other meeting he has. This week I did not have an opportunity to do that. Mr. Gieslin covered it all day long for me. I apologize, but I actually had a water line break in my yard. And the water yard was, they were wonderful. The guys were absolutely wonderful. So it didn't cost me an arm and a leg, but Mr. Gieslin stepped in and handled that all day for me. So, and the other meeting, I was a month too early.
Mr. Searcy, do you have any, I think you went to Sanitation District last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I had attended the South County Sanitation District meeting, and his biggest item on that agenda was the rebuilding of the forklift. I had an opportunity to go out to the plant and talk to Trini, the supervisor that runs all the maintenance.
Talk to the mic.
The plant is running... you know, at its averages, and it's running very well. There's a few capital improvements that will be coming up for the sanitation district, but then here soon they'll be looking at the Zone 3 bylaws revision here and the mission statement and a project, a 33-inch pipeline pigging project for the district. And the water treatment plant is running very well.
Vice President Lucy had a question for you about the sanitation district.
Do we have a bond assessment attached to the San District that matures in 2012?
I couldn't answer that one.
I don't know off the top of my head either. That's a good question.
Okay, because I think our bond, it matures this year for the San District. So... you know, my view has always been is that if I invest in something, I want a return. You know, I don't invest in things just to be nice. Well, sometimes, but not always. But with people's money, no, I'm not there. So if that bond is going to mature for that sanitation district this year, right, which means the people of Oceano paid their fair share, I'd like the sand district to decide what percentage will go back to the investors, which would be Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and later on came on Grover Beach. So I don't think it would be a 33-33-33.
It would be a different accounting, would be your recollection.
Because Grover Beach came on later. They took the county's role. So it does have, a little thought has to be put into it, but that bond matures this year.
I'll take it as an action item and report it back next week.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Manager Gieselin. I don't have anything to report. I was involved in trial. So I don't have any reports.
Did you win?
I did. I did.
On the news and everything.
Go get them, buddy.
A review, item number 8, review and approval of minutes from January 25th of 2012. Pardon? Yeah, I have a copy.
Oh, excuse me. We have public comment on the board members' reports.
Oh. Is there public comment on the board members' reports?
It wasn't all that specific. It said depending on the director's report. So I guess Ms. Henson would like to report.
Carol? Sorry, I apologize, Ms. Henson.
Hi, I'm Carol Henson, Oceano. I wanted to comment also on the OCSD operations, but that's okay. I can talk to Tom later. I wanted to say that I appreciate the efforts that Mary Lucy is making in behalf of Zone 3, and I'm surprised that she stated that Zone 3 has been in existence since 1985, and it's always amazed me that no one's ever come around for the mission statement and recognized that, you know, that there isn't a rotation of the members that are not the term members. So I think that's very intuitive of Mary to pick that up. And I think that even if it weren't Oceano that got it, I do believe that that would enable each district, each community with water to be able to have a say. And what's happened is that through the years, as Mary did point out, these people have continued to be in this position. And, you know, there's no new ideas and no new perspectives of looking at it. And I do think that for everyone to be able to cooperate and appreciate the position that their neighbor's in, a rotating chair or a couple of rotating chairs, and I'm really surprised that they would even agree to that. So I want to congratulate Mary, and I want to, you know, give her encouragement and my support to prevail. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, I just want to make it very, very clear. They haven't adopted those recommendations yet. It's on the agenda for the next Zone 3.
Well, if they won't adopt them this year, if they keep with people like you, continue hacking away at them, and hopefully, because that's really fair and equitable. The same people can't have the same positions within our community year after year without it becoming unequitable. So, you know, I want to congratulate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment, Manager Gieselin?
Doesn't appear to be at this time.
So moving on to item number 8, review and approval of minutes of January 25th, 2012. Previously, Julie Thacker did make a comment about the report of the OCSD operations. Should include a mention that our website was hacked. Did you see that?
7A.
Oh, hacked. Yeah, it's right under 7A. I'm sorry. I was reading too far down. So I think that... Or the vandalism?
Yeah. Let everybody know what we determined.
Is there any other comment on the minutes?
I move that we accept the minutes.
A second.
Can I get a roll call vote, Carol Ann?
Yes. Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Minutes are approved by a vote of 5-0. Moving on to item number 9, cash disbursements.
We have public comment. Carol Henson?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good night, Ms. Henson. Is there any other public comment?
No, none other at this time. At this time, I'd like to give you disbursements in the neighborhood of $40,000. When I the last couple have been $400 and $500, but this is only $40. So
I thought I thought I might have missed something, but not $360,000. Thank you. Is there any board comment?
I really wanted to run over to the mic and comment on the audit. I can't express how thrilled I am about having this audit in my hand.
Is there any board comment on item 9, the cash disbursements?
I move that we accept the expenditures.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Can I get a roll call vote, Carol Ann?
Vice President Lucy?
Yep.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Angelo? Director Angelo?
Lori.
Lori, do you have a vote on the warrants?
Yes. I voted yes. Okay.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Passes 5-0. Moving on to administrative item number 10B, Oceana Water Rate Correction.
Right. In your staff report, you have a copy of the Santa Maria Times article that talked about Napomo's water rates, and they compared them to everybody. What the chart didn't call out, it said that it was the average rate payers, and so naturally that came out in the paper, and we started getting calls saying, why is our water rate so high? And nowhere in the chart did it say that it was based on 40 units, which appears to be the Napomo average rate, where ours is 25 units. And so that's what the difference is. So our average bimonthly water bill is right around $100, not counting sanitation and everything else. That includes $14 for the Lopez mediation, and then sanitation sewer based on the needs for sanitation sewer. So this article caused a whole bunch of questions being asked, and so I brought it to the table, and then Michael LeBrun responded, which I believe you got copies of his response, to which he said that the chart that the paper put in was dated or stale, and he supplied us with additional data. So, you know, if they're providing the data, I'm curious how they got a stale chart in the first place, but it caused enough inquiries in our office that it needed to be addressed.
Is there any action that you recommend taking on this?
No, but okay. It's just the public needs to know that the average Oceano user uses 25 units, and apparently Napomo they use 40, and that's what they're basing it on.
Is there any go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just see if there's public comment or board comment.
Well, who provided them with the graph? Was it Napomo that provided them with the boxes? Was it RAC?
No, it was Napomo that provided them with the data.
So it was Napomo that provided them with the data?
Right.
So do you think it would be appropriate to send a letter to Napomo and says, you know, look, you know, when you put bad information out, you must retract.
They're claiming that the paper printed a graph that was an old graph. But when you read the article and everything, it just says the average ratepayer. It doesn't say that's based on 40 units anywhere. So it presents a somewhat slanted view, but you know, I've given stuff to the paper before, too, and then what they print is completely different.
Well,
so, but I just, we got enough calls and enough inquiries, and we've already talked about how what a hot button in Pomo is right now, but it needed to be addressed so the public knew. And then this was the best way for me to get that to everybody's attention.
Should we write a letter to the editor of the Adobe Press and say that we feel your numbers are incorrect because they would reflect our...
We don't need a motion.
Well, I'm thinking about it.
We can put... I can make a motion to put it on the next agenda, and maybe, you know, we'll have a path to, you know, who we're going to direct these letters to.
I don't think it's worth it. I think it would just be taking up staff time, to be honest with you. I think if people in Oceana want to write a letter and say, you know what, knock it off, great, because that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to ask the staff to write any more letters because, you know, it's just, what's it going to do? You're going to take it and file it. So I say throw this one back in out to the community. I'll pay for the stamps personally.
There was no public comment on this.
Okay. We'll move to item 10C, review addendum to the Arroyo Grande water contract that was attached to our packet. Manager Gieselin, is there any public comment or is it?
We have public comment from Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards? What do I do with it?
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. Jeff Edwards. First of all, Mr. President, I'd like to respectfully disagree with your legal counsel regarding the procedure on taking public testimony for public hearing items. The public is at a significant disadvantage without hearing the staff remarks, especially when there is no written staff report, which is the case in some items. If this board is looking for the highest quality of public input on respective considerations, it would behoove you to take the public testimony following the staff remarks or staff report. Now, with regard to the item, that's the temporary or the amendment to the temporary agreement with the City of Arroyo Grande, I'd like to make a number of observations. First of all, last meeting on January 25th, there was some confusion. Your GM stated that Arroyo Grande receives state water or Lopez water, Zone 3 water, and I'd like to correct that. The agreement, and I've reviewed the original temporary transfer, the agreement calls for Lopez, that is Zone 3 water, or groundwater to be delivered. And it's my understanding that your district has done both, that is delivered groundwater to Arroyo Grande, as well as delivering Zone 3 water. So I'd like to clarify that. As you also know, the City of Arroyo Grande is considering a ballot measure that they would put to their voters considering state water. And I think that plays into the larger water picture for the NCMA. I think it's imperative that your board consider that bigger picture before amending any contracts with Arroyo Grande. There are a number of things happening. There's a lot of moving parts, and certainly the value of the water in question is at issue as water values are escalating substantially. So those are my comments. I would urge your board to postpone this amendment until you do look at some of the bigger pictures and perhaps convene with Arroyo Grande. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edward. Is there any other public comment, Mr. Giesel?
None at this time.
Is there any board comment on this item?
Well, I'd like to hear staff report first.
There is no written report, just the documentation that I included in your board packets. And we got the addendum, which was reviewed by council, and she had no issues with the addendum. There was one issue that Arroyo Grande would like to, instead of taking the water by the end of the contract, they would like an additional time which to take it. Right now we're in the third year of a five-year deal with an option for three more. And they are looking at going through and acquiring state water, as is several other people, because of the capacity study that was done that showed that there was more water had the ability to come through then there is now. but they will have to mitigate a significant portion of that, and they have to go, they're doing the analysis whether they really want to do that. I explained all the risks before, and so the only reason why it's back here today is because at the end of year five, they would, if they haven't taken 100 acre feet, they would like to take the 100 acre feet in the following year. But it's clearly a temporary contract. It's not a permanent contract. It's just something that they've asked, and I've already spelled out all the risks. And for those that don't remember, they pay us a fee for it. If the price of water goes up after they banked it, they have to pay us the difference.
Yes, but say you buy the rights to something, not don't use that word. shares, right? Say something costs $1 million, right? And you're going to buy it in a certain amount of time, right? And you give $100,000 down, but you can't advertise to sell because the $100,000 that they gave you to hold. In other words, you have to pull whatever you're selling off the market for a certain amount of time. What is that called?
So essentially what they're asking is we give them an option. They have an option to buy water. And what they're asking is that we extend that option, meaning we hold the water off the market for that additional amount of time.
So they just call it, the legal term is an option.
It's just kind of essential what it is, yeah.
Okay, so... I'm not liking. I'm feeling funny about tying my hands for 8 years because it's going to come down to 8 years. We're on a 5-year contract. They're going to extend the contract for 3 years. That will be 8 years, right? We're 3 years into a 5-year contract. We're 3 years into an 8-year contract if we sign it. Okay, what happens if it doesn't rain for 3 years? And the state.
Director Lucy, we're 3 years into a 5-year contract that we've already signed.
Correct.
And already executed. And inside that contract is the option for them to request a 3-year extension of that said contract under those terms. What they're asking for now is because we had a banner year with respect to supplemental water, that they buy their supplemental water at $90 an acre foot and use that, and then in a drought year come back and take that 100 acre feet at a later date.
Okay. Same amount of water. They're not asking for more water.
Okay. They're not asking for more water. They're asking for more time. That's what they're asking for. More time and store this water for me while you're at it is the way I read it. It, that this is asking for 3 more years onto the 5, and we already agreed that we would give them, as an in-kind, neighborly thing, capacity, meaning we'll hold your water for you for the extent of this contract, was my understanding. Okay, now they want to extend the contract 3 years. So we're saying, well, we'll hold your water now for 5 years. Okay, so in that 5 years' time, the state has decided that we're in a drought because we don't have any snow caps up there, right? And they cut our allocation down to 30 or 40% of state water. Now we're into a 3 or 4 year drought, right? Lopez is not holding, not, we wish we were at 82% after a 3 year drought. We wish that reservoir had 82%. It won't have anywhere near 82% in it if we're to go into a drought. Meanwhile, the salt water propaganda wheel is rocking and rolling over here, and our groundwater is in jeopardy. Now comes AG going, and by the way, kick down our water. I'm worried. I'm not worried about the 5-year contract. I was confident then. I was confident because of the groundwater source. I was confident because of the level of the dam. And I was confident because the the surplus water that was in there. 8 years makes me nervous, and I want to be put at peace. You know, I want to be work with AG and whoever needs water, because, yeah, we do have water, and if other people need water, I'm willing to work with it. But I don't know what it's going to look like 8 years down the road. And that's scary.
Sorry.
Well, I think at this point, though, we extend out five. Because three of the eight's already gone. If you take the five...
Three, it was five to begin with.
Right, but we're 3 years into that.
That's right.
2 years
left.
So we should
technically have 2 years left.
Correct.
And I have no problem...
I have no problem providing them. When I use the term capacity, it means to store. And I have no problem providing AG 2 years of free capacity. You know, because that's what we've done. We're holding the water. That's fine. But I get nervous that there's an extension in here.
There is, you know, and that those are valid concerns. But weighing against that, what you also have to consider...
Microphone.
Got it on.
But five, and now we're back. The issue on the table is five. And now it's hold it for 5 years. Is that changed, or are we still just holding it for 2 years?
It's if we exercise, if they ask to be able to hold it beyond the length of the five-year term. Still paying for the water. It's just they want to take it when they need it. And right now they don't need it.
I think there needs to be a time limit, because and what I'm thinking, and I don't know, I just throw this out here, is that if that lake gets to a certain point, that Oceano has the option of taking back our capacity water. That will go for as long as we can, right? But if that lake drops, say in year six, right? That lake drops to a certain level, right? And our livelihood is at risk. We have to be able to get out of this. You know, we have to be able, we can't let them take what, you know, it's a risky move. 3 years, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, I was comfortable with five because I knew I knew what we had and I knew where we were going. Right now, I don't know where we're going. I haven't even looked at my farmer's almanac. You know, it didn't rain this year, you guys. Every storm we've banked on has just passed us up. There's no snow in our mountains up there. Europe's got a lot of snow. That's just my, I don't even know if it's humble, but that's my opinion.
It's really a budgeting issue. We're obligated to provide X amount of water if they want it. And they are obligated to pay for X amount of water, whether or not they take that water.
Exactly.
That's right. And I'm fine with that. And I hold firm to that. But do I want to push it out 3 more years?
And that it is really just kind of a budgeting and neighborly thing to do. That's really the question. Is are you willing to take that risk?
It's a risk.
Well, I see it as, you know, our district entered into this agreement with Arroyo Grande in good faith. And I think it just should be carried out. You know, give them at the end of 5 years, and if they need 3 more years, then let's renegotiate.
Yeah.
You know, let's. You know, if they need 3 more years, well, then let's renegotiate. You know, unless you know they're willing to take 200 acre feet and pay us for 200 acre feet, and then we'll give them the 3 year extension. Mm. You know, this is, that's a money, that's
but
a budget.
You may as well give it to them if the same concern would be there. So you may as well do this, then, if you're going to do that.
No, I wouldn't do that.
But you know,
well, that's...
but as it is, I think Mary brings out some pretty good issues. And, you know, I'd say let this
let that agreement stand for the 5 years and renegotiate if they need it.
And I understand why, you know, they want to store it. I'd be storing it too. I think that's a wise managerial decision, you know, for their city. I would be doing the same strategy.
Well, we're storing it as well.
Because
we're buying the cheap, that we're taking the cheap surplus water that we were lucky enough to get last year.
Right.
I mean, our ground pumping is next to nothing.
That's right.
Well, we had that report here not a couple months back. You know, we
were right
around 5-6%, and Arroyo Grande and Grover, you know, in the 90s. So.
Look, I don't have any problem sharing and helping, right? What I have problems in is if we get in trouble, we're locked. You know, if they want to come back to the table and say a year or 2 years and say, can we roll this contract over for another couple of years and everything looks peachy and we know that we can sustain ourselves, sure, no problem. I don't have an issue with that. But right now, 5 years out, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I'm wondering if the issue is of one of the issues is storage. Would it sweeten the pot if we ask them to pay for the storage? And is that even something?
It's the option. I'm even more concerned. The option of locking it up.
It's
is,
the what if.
You know, they're not paying us any extra to come up off the market. They're asking us for an option. So how? Okay. So those are the two things, and, you know, we understand why you're, you know, drinking your surplus. We drink it too, right? But what are you going to do for us? Are they going to commit to another 100-acre feed? Because they're already pumping capacity. We have extra water. Are they going to come back and say, yeah, in... we'll bring you a 2 year op, 3 year option for another 100-acre feet. If there was a sale attached to that additional 3 years, well, you might have my ear a little bit closer, but it's not. It's give, you know. So now I want to be fair, and so we can't keep, you know, the options are expensive.
Hello?
Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I have maybe an idea for this. Instead of the agreement to automatically extend, maybe we should change the automatically to another discussion to the extension, renegotiation, or something like that. That we could extend it the maximum to the 8 years, but finish the 5 years, and then we'll readdress it again once that's completed. But not, you know, I don't know if that would work, if I go for something like that, that's not an automatic extension without some conversation. What do you think?
Can I ask that we table this until we talk, till staff has a chance to go through all the pros and cons again? I know you've been through it.
Well, let me make sure this is what you want. So you want me to go back and ask for a capacity / storage fee, and you want to limit the time that they can extend out to take the water.
No.
Or an option.
What we agreed to is to provide them capacity for the last 2 years of the 5-year contract. And they're asking us to, one, extend the contract and provide them capacity, which would be for 5 years. So I'm not asking for compensation on the original contract because that would be going back on our word, and that's not right. But we didn't say, oh, you could do this forever, you know. So that's one that point out that we are providing that. And two is that I don't know if we ever got compensated for the option. You know, we never, you know, and maybe you guys can talk about that amongst yourselves. And I'm not saying that we should go back to the first five-year contract and readdress it, but I'm not going to, if we're going to extend this contract, we're going to talk about it.
How do we value an option? That would be the next.
We've already got an agreement for the 5 years, and instead of just an automatic extension, maybe we can negotiate it differently or word it differently so when we get to the final fifth year, then to negotiate further years out at that time.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other board comment? So I think what we're asking is we're directing staff to speak to Roy Grandy on those terms as discussed.
Yes.
Is that a consensus?
Yes.
Thank you. Move on to item 8D, review draft saltwater intrusion letter, and I'll note I don't have one.
We got a bunch of public comments.
Okay. Why don't you start with public comment then?
Julie Tacker.
Julie?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker.
Hold on a second. Sure. Thanks, ma'am. We're on the saltwater. There was a posting on the internet that referenced the saltwater. And early on, Mr. Giesen, did we pull that down? It was
Napomo's propaganda says that seawater intrusion or the threat of seawater intrusion is real, and has a pretty little graphic of our coastline with arrows pointing at your community, my community, and I think Avila Beach. But I know we have seawater intrusion in our community and in San Simeon. It is a dangerous thing. Our basin does not touch your basin. It has nothing to do with the issues in Napomo. And I'd like my community services district to send a letter to this community services district to stop manipulating the public. These are public dollars that are putting out this material, frightening these residents into supporting a project that they may or may not need. That's up to each individual to make their choice. I don't think I have to convince you that you need a letter or some sort of press release. I've listened to your meetings in the past. I have heard the phrase, we don't have a dog in the fight, and you absolutely do have a dog in the fight. I don't have a dog in the fight. Living in Los Osos, I don't have a dog in the fight, but now I do. So I'd like to see your letter come through, and I think now, because it's been on your agenda numerous times and been continued, now the real question is, why don't you have a draft letter? And Mr. Giesland pointed to the November 30 letter that he signed as part of the NCMA group. It does kind of put egg on your face, and then it begs the question, why isn't he copying you on his work? And you should have seen that letter. I actually found that letter in a Napomo CSD staff report, so it's very public record, and it's not something hidden in your legal negotiations.
Thank you, Julie.
President?
Yes.
You know, I actually been thinking about this saltwater intrusion letter, and, you know, I just think we should let it go. I really do. I don't think we should direct staff to write it anymore. Everybody else has written so much about it. You know, the bottom line is, you know, the letter came from this board, It was a form letter. The train left the station. Having staff beat their head against the wall to write a letter that is not going to be relevant isn't going to change anybody's mind. It's just a waste of everybody's time.
I think I've come to the same conclusion, because this did start with this board.
We still have a bunch of public comments on this.
Okay. Next public comment. Sir.
Sorry, I didn't mean...
Started with this board.
Mary, next we have John Schneider.
Mr. Schneider, good evening.
Hello, I'm John Schneider from Napomo. I'm also concerned about the misinformation from NCSD. Mike Wynn was just at the Board of Supervisors saying that it was a fact there was seawater intrusion, that it was a legal document, and that seawater had intruded a half mile in, which is more than I've ever heard about. But more importantly, there's a deeper issue here, and that is that the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group is not a public agency, doesn't have a Brown Act, doesn't have a Public Records Act, doesn't have a conflict of interest requirement, and they're not under oath. So it's just a bunch of guys making a settlement, and they can say anything for any reason they want to. And it seems to me they're making political statements, maybe to justify PISMO's state water increased reliability, maybe to get funding, and that's not right. And there's some other things that need to be considered when you talk about seawater. I'm the one who handed you this packet, by the way.
Thank you.
It's not talked about the fact that back in the 60s there was a well just across the street from the well in question, a little bit to the east, that had high chloride. And that kicked off a DWR study that created the monitoring wells, and it was determined that that high chloride was from water coming into the lagoon and back down the top. And I haven't heard about anything from the secret committee that would eliminate that possibility. Secondly, there was an earthquake at San Simeon in 2003. It was well documented that there was a huge amount of shifting sand and elongation. Could possibly damage wells, and there seems to be no public investigation of whether there are damaged wells in the area that might also contribute to the problem. And thirdly, on the last page here, it's unbelievable to me.
Mr. Schneider. Thank you. Is there any other public comment, Mr. Giesling?
Yeah, Mr. Ed Eby.
Mr. Eby?
Good evening. I'm Ed Eby from Napomo. I had a comment about process. I think under the Brown Act that anything that's going to be discussed by a board such as yours, specifically the draft saltwater intrusion letter, needs to be made public record 72 hours before the meeting. I have not seen a draft saltwater intrusion level or saltwater intrusion letter. And I don't know how you can discuss this without having a letter in front of you or in front of the public to talk about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eby.
No other comments.
One more.
Oh, sorry. I believe I filled out the speaker slip. Thank you.
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Jeff Edwards. Initially, I'd like to reiterate my procedural objection to not hearing from staff before the public is asked to present testimony. I object to that strongly. It appears seawater intrusion in Oceano has gone viral. I have at least a dozen examples, including just yesterday at the Board of Supervisors. We heard about that. This seawater intrusion issue, it has to be addressed by your board. I don't care how many letters there are or have been written, you need to set the record straight. Next Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors, they're going to hear the draft county master water plan. This is a document. This is a blueprint for the future of San Luis Obispo County with regards to water resources and communities. This document has 11 pages of seawater intrusion in Oceano. 11 pages. This is going to the board next Tuesday. Is your general manager going to be at the board to refute this information or misinformation? Your 900 acre feet of groundwater is at stake. It is, as I mentioned earlier, your single largest asset. It could be valued, I valued it in excess of $20 million. You don't have much else. In fact, fundamentally, you are a water company. You don't do much else. So if you don't have your water, what do you got? What do your customers have? They have nothing. So it's imperative next Tuesday is the draft plans being considered, but if you want to put this genie back in the bottle, you need to have somebody testifying at the Board of Supervisors next Tuesday on this matter. It's imperative. And unless you do that, we're going to 12 examples will turn into 24 examples, which should turn into 48 examples. I mean, it's just it's self-perpetuating. It's just mind-boggling. We've heard the Planning Commission talk about seawater intrusion here. We've got Santa Margarita. Their drought reliability is based on Oceano seawater intrusion. This is North County issues. I mean, this is beyond one's comprehension. John Wayne said it best. Life is hard. It's harder when you're stupid. This district it must be responsible for the water. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
As a board that does public policy, many of us will be at the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday.
As I was saying, it's really unfortunate that this happened in the first place, back in 2009, when a board validated something that was not true. I think we could write letters to her blue in the face. It's not going to change anything. I'll tell you where my mind has gone on it several times. Legal action. Something dramatic to stop it. But I don't even think that would. I don't know where the board was when they signed that letter.
Oh, I know where they were, if you want me to explain to them. They signed that letter. One, it was a form letter that went to all the bodies, right? And two is it was presented by our contracted engineer. And we're a board of policy. So when your engineer comes to you with a report that says you have intrusion, right? You know, what are you supposed to do? Sit there and call him a liar? I mean, you can't do that. And I think that's an excellent point.
My point is the director
pointed that out to us. Our GM pointed that out to us. How are we going to write a letter when you sign this one? You know?
I think that perhaps we could just start with the basic facts that we got the letter from an engineer. The report turned out not to be factual. The letter was signed. Now, there's been no other findings since then. We believe that there's no longer any or ever was any salt intrusion, saltwater intrusion, and start from there. And just and then put it out there as an official statement from the board, and then whatever comes after that, we take remedy on that, right, if there's any that we can take.
It is our official position.
It is our official position, absolutely. And
I think we can make it short and sweet.
Anything that comes after that, we've done our job. So who does the letter go to?
We'll be dropping up and taking to the Board of Supervisors next week.
There you go. Yeah.
Attached to their agenda.
Are you going to be at the Board of Supes?
I didn't realize there was one. Yeah. I won't be. I don't
Tuesday.
Think I'm, it's at what time?
9:00.
I don't think I'll be able to make it at 9:00.
Well, if we can pass a letter tonight, right? I'll be happy to read it, you know, and I can't stress the importance of as many people from Oceano show up as possible, you know. And this time maybe we can not put this on the back of staff. Maybe we should be in the forefront of this one.
I'm okay with that. I'm good with that.
I think we keep it sweet and simple. It is our official position that this does not exist.
Okay. So Matt, do you have time to pound out the letter and I'll,
yeah.
And I'll
can I? How do we do this without creating a Brown Act problem? Because again, we have it on the agenda. We don't have a draft.
So can I say I move that we have Matt.
I can draft it easily.
Draft the position of the board, and that we agree that what you put in there is fine, because I think we all agree on the same thing. I just don't want to load more onto the staff on policy issues that is a waste of time for them. For us, it's not, but for them, I just think it kind of falls on us.
It won't take me but 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
So do you want
to... I could put it on. I can email it to Carol Ann. She can put it on letterhead. We could sign it and deliver it to the board.
Do it now, so there wouldn't be...
True.
So do you want to
take a
10-minute break and do that?
Yes.
Does staff recommend... Is that okay with staff and legal?
Is that an acceptable way? Okay.
I'll go pound it out.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'll go pound it out. I can type. I can type really quickly. Thanks, Karen.
So we'll
I move that we take a 10-minute break.
I second.
Well, we also have... Hold on one second here. Before we do that, we also have a closed session public employee appointment. We're missing the language here for the closed session. Okay.
But we have public comment before you break for the closed session.
So... I mean, is it possible for me to have it, for us to have a break during the closed session while I write this, or is that?
Well, they don't want to, the public doesn't want to stay for the closed session.
Right.
Right.
Let's do a break first.
Okay, let's do a break. 10-minute break. I'll go hammer this thing out. All right. Why don't we call this meeting back to order?
Where's the button?
AGP, are you ready? I can. It's up on our computer.
I only go to zone 3 without a pen.
No problem at all. We're back in session. We have a draft. It's been handed out. I just typed it up myself a minute ago. It's been handed out to everybody in the audience and the board. Molly Thurman. Should I read it out loud into the? Okay. Right now the state of the draft is as such: the County Board of Supervisors, Re-Oceano Community Service District's position regarding seawater intrusion. Please be advised that on behalf of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community. But the amount of exploitation of this anomaly has reached critical mass and is being quoted from everything from commercial development, other agencies' needs, and willful suspensions of the truth. Sincerely.
Level of exploitation.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to take out amount of.
Matt.
Level of. Okay. Instead of amount. Yes.
Second paragraph, it says, at the time... Instead of saying this well, maybe we could say at the time the Century well was tested.
Okay.
So they don't get it confused with any other well.
Okay. So in front of us, this, or behind this, excuse me, we'll add Century well was tested.
At the time the Century well was tested, the board directed its contracted engineer... And can we name our engineer, our contracted engineer, the Wallace Group?
Yes.
I think it's important to put Wallace in there.
Just as a matter of just you say the board's position is that, I would take that out and just state it as a statement of fact. Makes it a lot stronger. If you're going to write a letter like this, just lay it out. Don't
just start
directors.
Instead of please be advised, just say the oceanic groundwater supply is not threatened with seawater intrusion.
It's not, and then later where you say the board's position is that the incident exhibited characteristics.
Okay.
Just say the incident exhibited, but it's been blah, blah, blah.
Actually, I like that.
It's not our position if that's...
Yeah. The oceanic...
It is.
So our opening statement is the oceanic groundwater supply is not threatened with seawater intrusion.
Yeah.
And we'll delete the first two lines and... Three words from the second line. It's short and sweet. As far as signature, should the whole board sign it? Or how should we? I don't think it really matters.
It says that it's stronger if everybody signs it.
Right. I propose that each person that's here signs it. Director Angelo will...
Someone can sign four. You can do a signature four.
Four.
Okay. Director Angelo, would that be okay?
Yes.
We could sign on her behalf. Is there any public comment on this? I think we should ask for.
As one other thing, too, is I'd ask that the general manager be put on this as well. Because it's coming from the board that also our general manager is.
I think we're locking step here.
Okay.
In an attachment to this, too, it'll have the picture of the well in question with the contaminants nearby, and then it'll show the new well, and we'll also attach all the running data.
Excellent.
Thank you.
So the attachments will be the picture and the running data that we now have showing that that well is not
six packets.
Yeah.
So... We'll take six packets with us to the Board of Supervisors. Each supervisor gets a packet, and one goes to the secretary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we want to enter it into the record, correct, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And it looks like my seawater intrusion up at the very top when the RE, that needs to be combined. Seawater is one word.
So. Is seawater hyphenated?
No.
It's just one word?
It's just one word. Okay. Seawater intrusion. Okay. We can ask Carol Ann during closed session maybe to get this on letterhead with everybody's signature lines.
And I don't know if it makes a difference or not, but I think that that original letter was signed by a board member who had already resigned, and that letter was signed after their resignation. Did I say that?
I see Mr. Edwards move forward. Do you have public comment, Jeff?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. The only comment I would have is that I think the letter should include a list of all the agencies and CSDs and State Department of Water Resources and Central Coast Water Authority and all the folks that have been involved in this in one way or another. So I'd urge you to include a list of... yes, please. Thank you.
Well, that would take... The problem with that would take about a page and a half to do that.
Mr. Chairman,
we'll post it.
I think that's one of the most important aspects of this is to get this out. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Mr. President.
So I have a... I think we need a motion maybe to approve this.
No more...
With the changes.
If there's no more public comment, I'll make a motion that the board approve this letter with the revisions and the attachments.
The World Serve letter saying we're going to serve them.
Okay, because on the map they have it on 21st Street. Isn't that facility on 22nd Street?
No.
It's... I drove there, went there, Dan went there. They got a little store in the middle of the whole RV. It's an RV park. It's
right.
Not a...
And that's on 22nd Street, not 21st. I was trying to... I knew where the trailer park was, but their map shows it on 21st Street, which would be John Boy's.
I'll double-check it.
Okay.
That was a map that they supplied, that their architect supplied, because it also had the drawings, too, right?
Right.
Right.
And I'll make a motion to approve the Will Server letter.
I'll second.
Why did we not approve it last time? It was in the packet.
It wasn't an individual
no.
package.
No, this is the first time we've had it.
This is the first time you got it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
We had no will calls for the last several
minutes. Check your minutes.
Now we have more coming that are all sorts of problems, but we're
Yay.
Not there.
We're here to sell water. I seconded Carol Ann to get a roll call vote.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. So should we go into closed session then? Yeah, Lori, we'll call you from the other. We're going to go back into the office area. We'll call you from there.
Okay.
All right, we're going to closed session. Oh, sorry, public comment on closed session.
Right.
Pardon? Lori, you still on the phone, Lori?
I have five.
Public comment, Jeff Edwards.
And I don't know which one I'm hooking up.
Jeff?
Who's going where, and I'm having a mess with
public. Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I submit. It's premature to consider the GM contract this evening. Tom's a good guy. I don't think anybody would dispute that. In fact, perhaps he's too nice of a gentleman. But the fact is there's a lot of things that have not been accomplished in this district. And I'll just run over a few things. We just talked about the seawater intrusion letter. The review of John Wallace's contract with this district, I don't believe that's been accomplished. And as your board knows, John Wallace's firm wrote that form letter that's got you in hot water. I think their contract needs to be reviewed. There's strategic planning. There's the question of infrastructure prioritization. None of those things have been accomplished as far as I'm aware. And the whole idea, when Mr. Gieselin took the IGM position, one of his main tenets was that he was going to search for a permanent GM. And that simply it hasn't happened. So, again, I would request that your board postpone this to a later date. I would encourage Mr. Gieselin to prioritize the things that need to be done for your district and for your board. Let's get those accomplished and then revisit his appointment as the permanent GM. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
No other public
comment. All right. Thank you. We'll...
Go ahead.
Julie Packer.
Julie Tacker, and I also agree that it's premature to appoint anyone to the general manager's position. Your interim general manager kind of gave you a bullet list in June when he came aboard, and very simply, through a performance review, you do that with the public. You can go through and see that he's met or not met those accomplishments. The search for a general manager was something that was on that list, and actually there was a quote from in the press saying that he was going to pursue a search for a permanent general manager. If he then wants to throw his name in the pool, then that's when you do it. This seems to have gone kind of underground, and he sent... It hasn't been on the agenda, Felma, as a performance review, and that would be the protocol. So I don't know why anyone protects him. He works for you. It took Mr. Guerrero 10 minutes to write the letter you've been asking for 6 weeks. So that's something that, again, and I think I said this at the time of the item, why wouldn't he write it? 10 minutes. To do what the board asked him to do, what the public's asked him to do. So that's indicative, and it sets a tone. You know, he is a nice man, and he's going along to get along, but that's not why he's here. He's here to represent your board and your community, and each one of you were elected or appointed not to go along and get along, but to bring diversity from your community and hash out the issues. From your community, I said that. And where I live does not matter, Ms. Hurdle. Where I live...
I apologize for my indiscretion.
Apology accepted.
Thank you.
We have one more public comment.
And just for the record,
Karen
as
White.
Chair of the Personnel Committee, no employee evaluations nor performances are done in the public. That it's a personnel issue and it's private.
Karen.
Karen White, Halcyon. I'm a taxpayer in this district. I've lived my entire life in this district. My grandfather lived in this district. My father lived in this district. And I truly resent people from other areas with specific motivations who come to Oceano and try to push their weight around. We've got a good manager. We got an audit. Oh, yeah, there's some things he didn't do, but there's a hell of a lot he's done, and I'll stand behind him and hire him now because he sure was the pick of the litter when you were looking for an interim manager. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
One more, Mr. Rod Everling.
Good evening, sir.
Hi, my name is Rod Everling. I'm from Napomo. I own land in Oceano, though, so I am one of your customers. I'm not here to tell you how to run your board, unlike the way some people are. I'm not here to be negative. I'll just say this. If you get him permanently, meaning Tom, you're damn lucky. And I wish to God he'd come up and run the board we have in Napomo, because as you well know, they're so screwed up. And I think he's done wonders for this board, because before he got here, you guys were, you know, I don't mean personally, but the board. This place was a mess, and he's done a great job. You'd be lucky to get him, and you'd be better off not listening to other people.
Thank you for taking notice.
Is there any other public comment?
None at this time.
All right, we'll adjourn to a closed session. I think...
Lori?
I think what?
All right. AGP, you guys ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Call this meeting back to order from closed session. Molly?
Okay, in closed session, upon motion by President Guerrero, seconded by Director Searcy, it was voted to increase the month, to put in place an independent contractor contract for $10,000 a month effective January 1st through June 30th, 2012. At the end of that period, as that would be for interim general manager. At the end of that period, on June 30th, a permanent employment contract for general manager will be put in place. By roll call vote, Director Hurdle, yes. President Guerrero, yes. Director Searcy, yes. Vice President Lucy, yes. Director Angelo, yes.
That's correct.
Thank you, Tom.
So our next order of business is, you know, I left my agenda back there. Can I borrow your agenda? I apologize. No, we still have board items for the next agenda.
Can I ask that the letter, that the draft letter that was here for
yes.
the Board of Soups, is that finished?
It is finished. I apologize. Carol Ann, it's on your computer. Would it be possible for you to print it on letterhead and each us are going to sign it and it can go out tomorrow?
And then do you think we should just as a backup sign a couple pages, pieces of blank paper in case she has to run it off again or something?
I think we can have her run the letter right now, and then we can all sign it.
Okay.
There's no public here for public comment. Board member discussion, I think we've had a lot of it. I'll move to item 15, board member items for the next board meeting agenda. Is there anything anybody would like to put on?
Zone 3 budget.
And I think you add some other items you wanted on
that already. Why don't I recap what we're going to go over? We're going to bring back item 10A, the
fire department.
Fire district.
Yes.
We're going to add the Zone 3 additional, or the Zone 3 annual budget. We are going to bring back the Arroyo Grande water contract based on the instructions that you gave council and myself to go through. And
audit.
We're going to bring, I think that's it.
I think that was it as well.
Are we ready to
the audit, the draft?
Yeah, I'll have the audit.
There was one discussion I wanted to have, and with our committee assignments, I have a committee list here. I think the board as a whole, there might be a benefit to us discussing whether or not we want to set schedules for some of these committees, because I know some of them haven't met in many, many months, if not over a year or two. And so maybe the board can discuss that and decide whether or not that's something that we would find valuable. And that would be just committee meetings?
Rediscuss committee assignments.